This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Over in Africa.
Tell all the folks in Egypt. Welcome back. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne here till 12 o'clock. Joining us now, blues legend Kelly Oh, no. I thought you said he was ready. He dropped. Okay. We're going to be joined by Kelly very shortly.
I haven't talked to Chaser in a while. Actually, this would be great to hear his voice. Prominent voice with the blues for a long time. And I think living in Nashville part-time at least, so he can give us a little perspective on those country buggers down there. Predators. That rivalry's heating up a little bit with the blues and Preds.
Who would have thought that we'd be considered the hotter team than the Nashville Predators like a month ago? I mean, 6 points behind and they have three games in hand.
Yeah, three. It's unbelievable. I think a month ago, if you said, I'm selling you an eighth spot in the West, you're just getting in. Are you okay with that? You would have taken that in a heartbeat.
Let's join Kelly Chase. Now, Kelly, thanks for being a part of the program. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Good. Are you stunned, or do you think something like this was brewing?
I wouldn't say stunned, but surprised that there's 9-10 and or 8-9-10 and heading on to whatever else. Good things in a row, because it's a tough league to do that and put that kind of streak together. But listen, I think when you looked on paper what the team had at the start of the year, I think everybody was pretty excited. So it was a matter of – there's a couple things. I think a different voice with Craig Berube has helped a lot. And I think also – I think his ability to just – he's very straightforward. He doesn't manage the name on your back. He manages your play and just says, listen, you know what? This is how this is going to be. And he's playing the guys that are going. And then he expects the rest of the guys to work themselves out of whatever, you know, slumps they may be in. And I think it's worked extremely well. And, of course, they're getting some stops, and that's what you need.
Chaser, was Berube, I know as a player, is a tough guy. As a coach, do you think, is he a tough guy? Is he just no nonsense? We don't get much out of him. Is he as no-nonsense as he appears behind closed doors?
It's just straightforward. He's just a great guy. He's the guy you want to play for. It's just direct. You want to play more? Play better. You want to, you know, this and this. Well, that's not good enough. If you're going to play every night or you want more minutes, this is what I expect out of you. You do that, I'll give them to you. And that's exactly how he is. That in a nutshell is exactly how it is. It's completely, and, you know, it's just completely direct. This is what it is, and this is the rules, and they're laid out there for you, and hey, you know, and he doesn't get rattled by what guys might think, or he's just like, hey, you know what, I expect more. Pretty simple, short, to the point, direct, transparent, and what else can you ask for, right?
What did you know about Jordan Binnington before this season, and what do you think now?
Not much, to be honest with you. I didn't think much about him because he wasn't a guy that I would have said, oh, that's directly in the sight lines. Because as we know, that's not the way it was. You know, you look at the Finnish kid you expect was going to be here. And then, you know, Binnington, one thing about him, though, the guys that played with him in the minors said he's always had a calm about him. Certainly we'd be lying to say that we expected this kind of energy out of the kid, and maybe he's riding a wave, but we'll take it right now. I think it's timely stops, but it's like make the ones you're supposed to make, and then he makes two he's not supposed to, and the next thing you know, the team builds momentum off of it. Listen, I'm not knocking Jake either, but at the start of the year, Frank, you and I were talking about this the other night at a restaurant. At the start of the year, they could have been 5-0 with some stops, and the goaltending wasn't good enough to where it needed to be at the start of the year. And you know what? If that's the case, you know, all of a sudden you got a different feel of an energy about your team because you're feeling pretty good about how you got out of the gate. Well, they've been able to turn it around, and now they're feeling a lot of confidence with the group no matter who's in the lineup. Even the other night, I mean, I was at the game the other night in Nashville as well. I thought Jake made key stops at key times when they needed them, you know. And yeah, they needed to win it in overtime, and they had leads. But the Blues weren't great defensively in that game, and there was, especially late in the game, there was three times one-on-one right from the slot, Jake and the shooter, and Jake made all three stops. So, you know, that's key timely saves.
And you think, Chaser, historically, Jake has been better when he's been pushed a little bit. And now we see Binnington arrive on the scene, and then the other day in Colorado, Jake pitches a shutout. Do you think at this point that's a proven fact, that when he's got somebody kind of next to him pushing him and he's not anointed as the guy, that he plays better?
I think that's a fact with a lot of guys. I think that's just, you know, I think you need to have that, you know, that reason to be down at the other end competing just a little bit harder. I think it's a psychological thing for everyone. I mean, I look at myself and how I prepared for the season. I don't think there was a season I ever came in where I felt like, geez, I'm going to be on the team or I might not be moved or whatever. I never had that comfort zone in my life. And I always used the guys that I was competing against as a guy in my head when I was riding the bike or I was running or I was skating. I was always thinking, you know what, there's guys that are pushing me for my job. I'm going to do a little bit more than that guy. And I'd have those guys in my head as I trained. So I think that's just part of the competitiveness that should get you to the level that you're at.
In addition to his talented line mates, do you think one of the reasons for the turnaround for Vladimir Tarasenko is that he's a lot healthier? I mean, he was coming off a off season where he had surgery.
Yeah, I think so. And then I also think that, I mean, if you look at Ryan O'Reilly, they're very cerebral thinkers, the same kind type of a player. I think Schenner, as much as he doesn't like it, I think he's much better winger than he is a centerman. And I think that works because of it. But Ryan O'Reilly is a guy that he thinks a lot like Vladdy. He's very unselfish. I think there's times where he could probably shoot the puck more. And because of because the way they play with one another now, you're seeing goalies have to make a decision. Am I lining up for the shot or am I going to guess on the pass? And I think it's the unpredictability of it and the fact that those guys think very like-minded. I think that's what's given them the edge.
And, Chaser, is this a reminder what Tarasenko can and should be? Maybe not every game scoring a goal, but this is the talent we've always known was there. We've seen it when he's been a 40-goal scorer, but this is just kind of a reminder that it's there. How do you get that out of him consistently?
Well, that's Craig's job. But, I mean, again, Craig doesn't worry about, like, I think other coaches used to get a little bit maybe rattled if the stars are not happy. It doesn't bother Craig. He's played with enough. He's played with the greatest players in the world, and he's coached them now. It doesn't frazzle him at all. I think there was times where Hitch would get more concerned about what Vladdy was doing, and Vladdy and him would get at it, and even Josie. And Josie was a player, and he would kind of like, man, and try and have that sit down, that conversation with Vladdy, and try and talk it out. Not just Vladdy, but let's just talk about guys in general. Where Craig is like, nah, listen. Yeah, come on in. We'll have a talk. Okay. He listens, and then he says, okay, here's where I'm going to show you that the warts are. And then he shows you, and he says, no, that's what I expect. I expect you to be better, and that's it. And Steve Ott's a great guy for it because a lot of those guys had Otter in the locker room with them, so they know what he's about. So when he talks, it's not like he's giving them the runaround. He was direct as one of the captains, direct, in your face, great teammate, but also didn't, you know, he wasn't fluffing things. There was no puffing one. It was all about direct, you know, this is the reality. And that's how these guys are now. So they hear it, but it doesn't matter if you're the fourth line guy or you're the superstar. It's the answer you might not want to hear, but it's the answer that they think. And that's why I think they're having some success is they look within though.
What do you think about Berube moving forward full time? If he continues the run, the Blues have to bring him back. But what about if Joel Quenneville says to Doug Armstrong, I want to be the coach of the Blues? How do you see things?
Well, if he did that, I think we would have a great discussion because Joel is obviously a great coach, but Craig's doing great. But you guys put too much emphasis on the fact that just assuming Joel Quenneville wants to be with the St. Louis Blues, because let's remember there's two teams that are pretty good teams that haven't won anything in the last couple of years, and one of them is in Nashville and the other one is in Tampa. Now, I would assume Cooper will get an extension, and I don't know about Laviolette the way the team is at, but Joel Quenneville is going to have a lot of things to entertain. And the one thing about Joel is he's won three times. He wants to go to a good city and a good team. And he wants to go to a place where he feels like he's got a chance to win. And if that's St. Louis, great. But it might be some other city. And remember, money does come into play a little bit in St. Louis. We're not a high market team where we can afford a big market where we can just blow out $30, $40 million on a coach. That's what Quenneville's going to get. So you have to remember there's a lot of factors in there that, you know, it's all great that we can, you know, that's how we are. We want to, we wish and hope and think, but Berube's doing a hell of a job. And I mean, if they continue to respond the way they're going, you know, I would assume that he's going to have an opportunity, and he might have an opportunity in other places as well. So I don't think that I wouldn't get caught up just on Chief being here too, because if he continues to go the way he's going, he's going to have some opportunities as well.
So you think Frank and I might be overplaying the Obie Clark's factor in getting Q to say we've been using that as part of our appeal to Q.
Well, yeah, it's going to take more Nobies and a few more cigars at the Ritz to sway him. But we love Joel. I think he's the best coach I've ever had. But again, if you ask me, there's a lot of what ifs in there. And if you play the what if game, you're gonna find yourself behind the eight ball. And I think with this group, we just continue to talk about the success they're having and the guy that's in the driver's seat right now, and I think we'll be okay.
Chaser, we know with your business interest, you're spending time in Nashville. How much is this rivalry growing? We had the playoff series a couple of years ago. It seems that the Nashville fans get under the skin of the Blues fans. It's close enough people can drive back and forth. We've had some spirited contests. What have you seen there? Do they view the Blues as one of their main rivals? And right now, the Hawks thing's gotten a little quiet. The Wings thing is no more. Do you see this as an emerging feud?
Well, I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It was fun just after the game the other night to just go out and I'm wearing my Blues jacket and I'm with Predators fans. And, it was just a light blue jacket. It had a little wee logo. I think it might even have been on the collar. And I would ask them, I said, you guys go to the game tonight? Because they were wearing Preds jerseys. Yep. How'd we do? We lost. Oh, okay. And I would just keep walking. I just had to stick around and gloat a little bit because I am obviously, just making sure I rubbed it in a little bit. But I got to tell you, I have a lot of fun with the rivalry right now. I think so do the Blues. I think the fans are upset because, of course, they boxed them out of the ticket buying process, of course, because of their zip code. So, so we can't get tickets if you're in a certain zip code. And I think that's great. That Nashville has recognized it as. I think a couple years ago when we were singing and there was 5,000 or 6,000 Blues fans and we pounded them like 7-1. That was the final. Their ownership group said we have to make a change. The St. Louis is invading our city. And if I was the NHL, I cannot understand how there's not an outdoor game in Nashville with the Blues and the Predators. If you think about how quick that would sell out, it would be unbelievable. A stadium series game where the Nashville Predators play the St. Louis Blues, it would be awesome. It would be absolutely awesome. Both sides coming from everywhere, it would be great.
So before we let you go, how much do you miss it, or do you miss it at all? I mean, we're talking 19 years in the booth or 18 years in the booth. What do you think?
Well, I think you're in good hands, man. You got I think Kerber's the best play-by-play guy that I've worked with. And I really mean that. I don't say that because I wouldn't say anything if I didn't believe that. I believe that about him. I find it odd that he hasn't got more opportunity from a national perspective. So you got Kerbs, who's great, and he's going to help everyone along. And I think really Joey Vitale's doing a heck of a job. So I've read some comments where, hey, when are you coming back, or hey, whatever, but this kid's doing a great job. Do I miss it? I miss the guys. I miss being around that. I mean, I still work for the team. I still come to the rink. I'm doing an interview tomorrow night. Let's sit down for half an hour with Craig Berube. I get my fill of that part of it still. I'm doing the outdoor game on the weekend in Philadelphia. So I'm still doing it. But it's just different. I wasn't enjoying the travel as much. And I think I was becoming a little bit cynical of the game because I was around it, so long. And I was seeing some things in there that maybe I needed to change. And I think it was best for everyone. I mean, I got to the point where I was starting to watch the game and I was getting mad at the players, which I never used to do because I know how hard it is. But when I started seeing what I felt was guys that maybe didn't have the same type of energy that I would have had, or your fans are paying $200 a ticket and you're not seeing the same enthusiasm of the players or the care around the community, it just somehow started to bother me. And I just didn't want to be that guy in the game that was like a cynical ex-player. And I said, you know what, maybe it's time for me to have a change. I got a great opportunity. The Blues were looking at, maybe doing something on a year-to-year basis. And I was like, well, maybe this is just an indicator of what I need to do. And I think it's worked out well for everyone. I come in the community. I'm the half a month in St. Louis. I come in, I do the community stuff. Been working with Gersh and Hannah in that part of it, the Blues alumni. We've got some great things coming up here with Bruce Affleck and I working. We're meeting with Chappie Tuesday. I get in there later tonight again. And again, I love it still, but the broadcast part of it, guys, you know what? I think it was starting to tell in my tone. I was becoming a little bit of a mean-spirited ass, and that's how I played. I didn't want to be on the air like that.
Yeah, leave that to us. To be cynical and, you know, the hockey pundits, Martin and Frank, can opine on this team just fine, okay?
Yeah, no, I know that about you. And I was feeling like I was starting to come to your side. And I said, if I ever become a media guy, I got to get out of this.
Hey, Kelly, you've always been a fan of the franchise, in addition to being an alumni and a broadcaster. Speak to those folks now who are so excited. What do you think is sustainable? What's realistic? Like, how good is this team? Because right now, you've gone from people saying, all right, where are we going to draft? Should we lose for Hughes? And now thinking, okay, maybe we can win the whole damn thing.
Well, I think we can. I'm a fan. And there's times where you can be skeptical about it or whatever. But the one thing that the guys have proven to you against the best teams in the league, they've proven to you that not only do they compete, but when they're locked down with everybody going, they can beat anybody. So, like, who in the league, you know, Tampa's got the firepower, and in a long series, does it give them the advantage? Maybe. But it also, they've also proved that if they beat Tampa 1-0, and honestly, they outplayed Tampa in the game. It wasn't like 1-0 and the goalie got hot, because that can happen. It was 1-0 and they outplayed them, you know? And so they played both sides of the puck and outplayed the highest scoring team in the league. You know, same thing when you're playing a team like Winnipeg. They've got depth. They play any way you want. They can be tough, whatever. Winnipeg got into a situation where they thought maybe, you know, when they're playing the Blues, where they start going, man, these guys are for real. And you're seeing it more and more with the teams that they play. They're going to play a team tomorrow night that gets on their toes and everybody's coming at you. Everybody's coming, you know. Like, so when you look at the team and how they're going to play, if they dictate the pace of play, it makes a huge difference. In other words, if you're not having to adapt your game for the other team has to adapt to you, then all of a sudden you know you're a competitive team. Teams now aren't coming into St. Louis going, okay, let's just play our game. No, they're going, you know what, we're going to play the way we play, but we have to respect these are the things these guys are really good at, and they watch it on the board. Whereas at the start of the year, I think they were just going, look, if we get the puck in behind the St. Louis Blues, we're going to have a chance to win, because these guys don't respond and want to play the defensive side of it. They're not doing that anymore.
Oh, by the way, real quickly, you had 1,500 penalty minutes. Craig Berube had 1,100 penalty minutes. Did you guys ever fight?
I had way more than 1,500. I might have had 1,500 with the Blues, but I think you're off by about 600 or 700.
Let's see here.
I'll punch him square in the face right now.
But that's all right, Frank. You know what? Andy Strickland's not there to do your homework for you, so you got to have.
Wow, that's really brutal. All right, 1,500 with the Blues, 2,000 total. Okay, you smart aleck. Any of those? Just answer the question. Doggone it! Did you ever fight him?
I fought Chief. Yeah, you know what? We're going to do a little thing here on the late shift here with him, and I think I've fought him about four times. And so, the first time I fought him, it's a great story because we're playing in Saskatoon. And he was a 20-year-old, and I was a young guy, and he was kind of – Medicine Hat was a really good team, and they were our rivalry, and he was running around a little bit. And I thought, all right, I've had enough of this. And I was a few years younger than him. And I went out on the ice, and he's just like he is as a coach. He's very calm, and he says to me, I get out there, and I said, come on, let's go. We're going to go. I've had enough of you running around. And he looked at me, just as calm and cool. He said, are you sure you're ready for this? So I was like, I almost said, no, I'm not, but I'm going to give it a whirl anyway. But that's exactly how I played it. He goes, you sure you're ready? You sure you want some of this? Are you sure you're ready for this? Who? I said, and I didn't say anything. I go, let's go. And I just kind of backed off. I remember thinking after, like, first of all, who's got the audacity to say that? And secondly, you know, but he's a great story. I mean, he was a boxer. He won a tough man contest when he was about 17, again, 18 years old. He wasn't old enough to be in the bar. He won the tough man contest. Like, he's legit. You don't want to mess with the Chief.
Who won, by the way?
I win every. I've never lost.
Never lost. He looks like a guy. If you punched him, I get the feeling he just wouldn't react. Even if you hurt him, like he wouldn't give you the satisfaction of letting you know that it hurt.
No, he wouldn't. He'd probably come out and it'd be best of seven. You know, so that's how he operates. But you know what? I mean, there's nobody that played with him that didn't like him. There's nobody that played with him that didn't respect him. And the one thing about him is he was a hell of a teammate, but he also had a pretty good, healthy respect for the game. And guys, like, you don't think he's something special. Just take a look at it. The guy played in the role I had and played over 1,000 games in the NHL. He should be in the Hall of Fame just for that. Having that role and playing 1,000 games in the NHL, are you kidding me? That's absolutely ridiculous that guy could play that long and play the way he played. I mean, seriously, that's crazy. And I think that Calgary wanted him for one more year, and he said, I can't do it anymore. And he was just chuckling about it because Daryl Sutter loved him. So Calgary tried to sign him one more time, and he was doing everything he could to try and, you know, get away from, you know, the playing part of it, just saying, man, I think I've had enough. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, and I'm gonna be driving back to St. Louis in a couple hours here, and I'm gonna call his parents, call his dad and his mom, because we're doing a little feature, and I'm gonna get some inside scoops for him on him too, so find out just how bad he was as a kid.
Sorry that Frank didn't have his stats right, Chaser. I apologize. I would never allow that on this show.
Oh, God.
Well, all right, you know so... what? I mean, it seems like you guys used to be more professional. Maybe you're getting to where I was last year. It happens. It happens to all of us, boys. Maybe
we'll see you. We will see you in St. Louis, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right, Kelly Chase joining us. By the way, I'm looking at a Craig Berube Ty Domi fight right now. And he held his own with Mr. Domi, too.
I want to know who would win a fight today between Chase and Berube.
Well, I'd hate to think of...
Don't tell Chase, but I think Berube looks like he might be in better shape. I mean, is he off the
line
now?
Whoa, tap the brakes there, Chubby. Come on, let's go.
When you post that interview, please clip it off before we get to that.
Come on, old Chubby Clean.
Doesn't Berube look like a guy that you can't get to him? Like, even if there's blood dripping down his face, like, I got you good, he wouldn't give you that satisfaction.
He even kind of razzed Jim Thomas last week. Jim got... he was doing interviews in the locker room, and Jim got there a tad late for Berube's presser, and Jim kind of asked a question that had already been asked. He says, well, I answered that question a little bit ago. If you would have been here, you would have heard that. And in a nice way, because I'm sure, like everybody, loves Jim. All right, the McBride Homes Union Stimulus Program is back. McBride has teamed with local construction unions to bring you the best buying opportunity of the year. Buy now, get McBride Homes' best deal on a new home, plus get an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the local unions. It's the Union Stimulus Program. It's only during the month of February. McBride has over 40 communities across Metro St. Louis with homes at every price point, in every lifestyle. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on the Union Stimulus Program. We'll be right back.